Stephen Allen's Pro Tips in a short time, learn a lot.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Steve.
So I'm embarrassed to report that after 47 years on this earth, I still probably too frequently find myself in the need of apologizing to someone because I realized after the fact that I behaved in a way that I was not proud of. I'm wondering if you could help me and maybe the listeners in the process with how to do this, how to give a good apology for people like me who continue to step in it after all these years.
First of all, I just want to affirm that you're a good person, Dr. Shanley. However, even good men like us screw up and make mistakes. The last research I saw on this said that 84% of people trust others more when they admit to making mistakes. And you and I both hear, and you talk about personal experience, but we both hear from folks who are frustrated. They might not be getting along with their colleagues, and they feel like, you know what? I have stepped in it. Just like you said, I've stepped in it. I don't know how to come back. And we all know, and I know you know this, that saying, I'm sorry to hear that you feel that way is definitely not an apology.
I'm not apologizing. I'm sorry you feel bad about what I did, and I'm sticking to it. That's probably how 27-year-old Steve would apologize.
Right. And, you know, your lawyer would approve, right? Like, let's avoid all responsibility. The thing that's powerful, whether it's with a colleague or sometimes even with students, is that we can take control of the situation again. The tone of your voice when you introduced this was feeling kind of, you know, a little bit of despair, a little bit of, oh man, how do I get out of this? And what's great about apologizing gracefully is that we can then take control and have some agency in how we repair the relationship going forward. So here are the four steps. Acknowledge what you've done wrong. Own up to the mistake. Say it out loud without equivocation. I was not prepared for our last recording. Something like that. And then apologize. Hey, I'm really sorry, or I apologize. And then follow it up with a way to make it right. I tell you what, I'll record this on my own and get it to you, and then we can edit it later. Would be a thing you could do to make it right. And then you recommit and say, hey, in the future, I'm going to be more prepared when we do a recording session. So own the mistake, then use your words of apology, the shortest part of the whole thing. Then find a way to correct it, hopefully in the moment if possible, and then recommit.
So how about this? My colleague, who teaches choir, sends some students down to the band room to take a whole bunch of my percussion instruments without asking. And I find out, and I go to the choir room, and I get mad. And then I feel bad later, but what I feel bad about is that I got mad. So that's what I'm sorry about, but I'm not really sorry about the underlying thing that happened. What about when it's a little bit more layered like that?
Predict what would happen after this. Hey, Steve, I came down here. I undermined you. I got mad. I hollered in front of students. That's unprofessional, and you deserve better from me for that. And I'm sorry about that. We should talk about that again, but I want to start by listening because I took too much control last time. In the future, I will address these things in private when we have trouble.
So it's not a matter of quickly apologizing for the thing that I'm actually sorry for and letting that go by fast and then getting into the part that I feel like, but this I was justified to be mad about. I need to stick with it and commit to the part that I'm really sorry about.
And the part that you have control over. You have control over your reaction, how you handle it, how you will handle it in the future. And if this person you're talking to has a conscience, they're not going to be as on edge as they might have been when you come in all mad. They'll be a little disarmed and ready to engage in an exchange because you didn't start out by saying, hey, I'm sorry I yelled at you, but you should not have sent those kids to take stuff without asking me. That's another kind of non-apology that seems like an apology where you just really want to get to the problem next. If you want to improve the relationship, admit the mistake, commit to doing differently, something differently in the future.
Okay. And then how about this other extreme? I have some people in my life who, in my opinion, apologize too much, and they apologize for things that really aren't their fault. And they start by saying, oh, I'm sorry. So if I give a suggestion, for example, and they immediately say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't think about that. So how do we know whether or not we should be truly sorry? And part two, how can I, when someone apologizes to me and I think you don't need to apologize, how should I handle that?
Let's go to the reflexive sorry, which is, I think, what you're referring to. Like when somebody gets to the door first and there's a little confusion about who opens it. Oh, sorry. Or somebody's like 30 seconds late and they're like, oh, sorry about that. It's just a very reflexive, almost like a sorry about everything. Is that what you're talking about?
It is. And for our listeners who are not from the northern United States, Alan is saying sorry. When you hear him saying sorry, that's the word sorry. So if you need me to translate, I got you covered.
You could take the boy out of Wisconsin, but you can't take the Wisconsin out of the boy. But you can take me out of the boat. So the thing that you can do is you can, if you have a relationship with that person, you can counsel them, influence them to substitute the phrase thank you for the reflexive sorry. Like, oh, sorry I went on so much about that. Hey, thanks for listening to me go on about that. Oh, sorry I went through this door before you. I didn't see you there. Hey, thanks for letting me go first. I did see you there. So you start to substitute thank you for sorry. And then instead of inviting someone to then say, oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. Then instead, you're kind of honoring the fact that they're a part of the exchange by saying, thank you for listening to me, or thanks for letting me go on a bit. And they'll say, that's fine. And then it's a little bit more of an equal exchange.
That seems like an easy one, an easy replacement. What about that first question? How do I know whether or not I should be sorry?
I think it's if you can name everything that you put in the parts of the apology model. So if you can name the mistake that you, the thing that you ought not have done, if you can spell that out, and if there's a way to make it right or do it differently in the future, then maybe it's something that warrants an apology. Or if you put all that together and you realize, oh, that's a little silly. It seems a bit much to go on about this. The other thing you brought up is accepting apologies. If someone does it in this way, if they are graceful enough to own their mistake and apologize in that way that we're talking about, resist the temptation to reassure them by diminishing it and saying, oh, no big deal. Oh, no problem. Oh, you thought I'd be bothered by that? Oh, that's no big deal. They've probably gone to a little bit of effort to be vulnerable and open enough to say, hey, I was unprepared the last time we were going to record a quick pro tip. I'm really sorry about that. I'll record it on my own and send it to you to edit, and I'll make sure that I'm prepared the next time we do it. And then the response to that can be, hey, yeah, thanks for that. And if the other person owns it, to go back to your very first example about that choir director who sent the students to steal the percussion equipment.
Totally hypothetical, by the way. I mean, that never happens in any band in the United States.
I'm sure. But usually in a situation like that, then the other person will probably respond in kind and own their part in the conflict. And you'll both trust each other more because you've both owned up to the mistake, which goes back to the whole reason for talking about this. Our relationships are important. Sometimes we feel like we've stepped in it and we don't know how to get out of it. Take control by owning it, apologizing, making it right, and recommitting in the future. Do you need an acronym to help remember this, Dr. Shanley?
I don't, but go ahead if you've got one.
Why, since you asked, AAMR, acknowledge, apologize, make it right, recommit. And the way to remember AAMR is to remember that it's all about my relationships. I learned this from one of our insiders, my dear friend, Matt Priest. I learned this from him, and I'll never forget it.
And we've been using primarily relationships with other adults as our examples today, but certainly this applies to owning up with the students when you've made a mistake.
I told you that I was going to have these grades in Infinite Campus by the end of last week, and I should have. And I know that you're all checking to see how you're going to do on midterms. I apologize for not doing that when I should have. I'm going to have those done by 4 o'clock today, and I'll try to do better in the future to make sure that my grades are in the grade book in a timely way.
Certainly something I wish I would have learned earlier in my career. You think when you're in your 20s and you're trying to establish yourself as the knowledgeable teacher that admitting your mistakes undermines your own credibility. And wow, as I went along, I discovered kind of the more I admit to the students the things that I either don't know or that I screwed up, they like me and trust me more.
Yep. I look back in the first 6 years of teaching, knowing this model would have been very helpful.
Good stuff, Alan. Thank you.
You got it.
Steve and Alan's Pro Tips in a Short Time.